Come, Lord Jesus, come. Let us find in these words, your word, that river of living water for your children who thirst. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I know many of you avoid email like the plague. And you know what? As days goes by more and more, I can't blame you. It's a mode of communication that's fraught with many challenges, not the least of which is the volume of emails that a person can receive. I mean, how is it that somebody can open 35 letters a day and respond to them? But if you don't email, you probably don't know a joy that those of us who email actually have had in these last few years. We get these really special emails, often from someone in the UK. And they talk about how someone has died and they've left this huge fortune, and they're appealing to me or to you to help them distribute this wealth among charities in the U.S. And for this, they'll pay a great fee, maybe $1 million or more, if you'll just help out with this plan. Now, I have to admit, upon receiving the first one, I was intrigued. And then you just keep reading, and eventually you go, surely too good to be true. Now that I've received hundreds of them over the years, I get, I'm a little more cynical, a little more suspect. And instead, I laugh when I receive them. Ha ha, not true. Ha ha, not true. That laugh of disbelief. That's what we hear in Sarah this morning as we ponder Genesis 18. A laugh of disbelief, to which the Lord responds, is anything too difficult for me? Let's take a look at it and see how it might apply to our lives. We want to give it a little bit of context and remember that it's an ongoing story. It's a few chapters before that God has made this profound promise to Abraham, that he was going through Abraham's seed to bless a countless number of people. Of course, Abraham immediately objected because he knew it would not come to pass because he didn't even have an heir. Only Eliezer of Damascus was available to carry this burden, probably his servant, perhaps his chief servant, but no heir by blood was available to him. Abraham knew that it could not happen, and as time goes on, nothing came to him that convinced him that it would. And yet in Genesis 18, we find that the Lord appeared to Abraham. We're told that there were three people actually there, and there's no reason to speculate who the others might have been. There's no reason to read into that Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because the one that Abraham addresses is the Lord. It is God speaking to him. He's come to dwell at the for a moment in Abraham's life and speak into it in a great way. We know it's the Lord because Abraham does the things that one would do. He offers reverence. He bows at the presence of the Lord. He seeks water to have his feet washed and water to refresh his life and food to nourish him. And what is it that the Lord wants to say? Suddenly the story shifts and it becomes about what God has to say to Abraham. And he asked him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" "There in the tent," he said. Then the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I'm worn out and my master's old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I'm old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." You ever been caught in that embarrassing moment of disbelief, of laughing and saying you don't believe it, and yet it comes true and you wish you hadn't laughed at all? That's the story with Sarah. Now, this story is going to play itself out over not days or weeks or months or years, but centuries, ages. Because in the end, of course, the promise is fulfilled that they have a son, but they don't know that all the nations are going to be blessed through Isaac, eventually through Jacob, eventually through the Lord Jesus Christ. But that first step was fulfilled, and they would come to realize that. And what was difficult for them, what was impossible to believe for them, God undoes. What was not a part of their closed world, where the infinite can't break in, is shattered. That world is shattered. And suddenly, what's difficult and challenging for them is proven to be not too difficult for God. A barren woman has a son. What's impossible for man is possible with God. Have you ever found yourself in a situation to where this might apply? Trapped in some form of life that prevents you from seeing the possibilities. I have to admit, I'm finding myself aging, and my stories reveal that. I was reminded of a song many of you might know from years ago called Pina Colada. Remember, this man was had grown tired of his girlfriend. And he said she was like a worn-out recording of a favorite song. And he was trying to figure out how to get out of the relationship because he couldn't imagine anything fun coming out of it in the future. But in real life, we know that's true. Some of us are stuck in marriages that haven't moved forward in a long period of time. Some of us are engaged in destructive patterns in our life. Addictions, whether it's to alcohol or to drugs or to pornography or to sex, there's something that gnaws at us each and every day that we would like to be freed from. Some of us have wayward kids and can't figure out how to bring them around. Some of us are unemployed or underemployed. Many of us are sensing that we're watching the fall of an empire in the West and are helpless to do anything about it. We can end up in a closed world where God can't enter in. God can't act powerfully and change what is in front of us. But to that, God says, is anything too difficult for me? Is anything too difficult for me? Sarah laughed. At times we're inclined to laugh, to believe that change is possible. But he says, is anything too difficult for me? And they bear a son, and he demonstrates that nothing is. Are you waiting on the Lord to deliver you? Are you waiting on the Lord to free you from that which binds you, from that closed world where you can't imagine something better happening, something good coming to you? In saying, is anything too difficult to me? And then, in the face of Sarah and Abraham's objections, not with their cooperation, he brings a son about. God is saying to us, be of good cheer. Nothing is too difficult for me. Change is possible. Now, not any change, and we are mindful of that. We need to recall that and be humble about that. It's not as God is a genie and gives us whatever we wish, but what He's promised to us is available in Him. And His promises are many in number. When we think about the fruits of the Spirit that Paul describes in Galatians alone, think about some of those being achieved in our lives when they weren't there before. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Think of how love can be a part of your life when it hasn't been in the past, when you don't feel loving or lovable. God has promised that that is a fruit of the Spirit, so it can be achieved. It is difficult for us to imagine how it might happen, but it's not difficult for God. He can bring it about because it's truth that He's promised. Some of us are plagued with anxiety about our lives, about our work, about our homes, about Western civilization. And yet God can sow among us a peace that passes all understanding. That peace is possible. It's difficult for man, if not impossible for us, but possible with God. Patience. How many of us are impatient? How many of us struggle to wait on the Lord to act? 2 years ago, someone in my circle of influence told a lie, and it had devastating consequences. Last week, a telephone call came in the evening. The person on the other end saying, "I'm sorry. I made it all up." 2 years. 2 years to see the Lord at work and this one individual who realized the wrong that she had done and finally confessed it. 2 years of patience being sown in the person who was wronged by the lie. The one marveled at the other, that the one hurt was so gracious and said, "Oh, no big deal." That kind of patience is possible. That kind of patience is achievable. Not in our own strength, not because of what man does, but because God's promised it and nothing is too difficult for Him. Nothing is impossible for Him. One of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. Many of us struggle with addiction. But God says not even that has to be the last word on your life. There is a self-control available to you. I can sow that in you. It is not too difficult for me. Your closed world won't allow it, but the world that I break into in Christ, it can be achieved. Marriages really can be marked by love that Christ has for the church and can be marked by respect. Children really can be trained up in the way that they should go and not soon depart from it. People can experience joy that have known none because we've been transferred from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of light where joy and good things can be had. We can even develop a love for the church. In our day and age, many outside of the church have grown cold to it. Many inside the church have given up on it. One of our own bishops, Todd Hunter, has written a book in 2010, Giving Church Another Chance. He realizes people's frustrations with it. He's experienced it himself. And yet, the Lord can sow in us, in our hearts, a love for the church and what He's doing in this collection of people that He draws together, such that we can't imagine doing it without one another. We can't imagine opting out or asking someone else to do it. He can sow in us a love for the church. Why? Because He promises it. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul lays out a church that loves each other. I will show you still a more excellent way, one that keeps no record of wrongs. And in 12, he talks about one where we recognize the essentialness of every member of the body. God can bring that kind of love for the church around in His people. All of these things that seemingly are impossible to change, where we might be inclined to despair and go, is anything new on the horizon? Can anything new happen? God, in providing a son to Abraham and Sarah, says, it is. Nothing is too difficult for me. And of course, we want to apply it to the ultimate challenge that faces all of us as it's done in the New Testament. You remember the story in Luke where there is a rich young man and he wants to know how to enter into the kingdom. And Jesus responds to this man that it's more difficult for a rich man to pass through the eye of a needle. A camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the gates of heaven. And the disciples rightly said, well, who then can be saved? If it's that difficult to get in, how can it happen? How can I be a part of the kingdom? How can you be a part of the kingdom? They rightly asked what would be upon any of our hearts. If that's true, who can be saved? And Jesus responds again, what's impossible with men is possible with God. Those of us, because of our sin, all of us, because of our sin, who are alienated from God, can be reconciled to Him because of this love that He's given us in Jesus Christ, because He breaks through our closed world and enters into the world Himself and rolls up His sleeves and gets dirty with us that we might be saved. and know life, a rich and abundant life, he says. God wants us to hear that what shackles us doesn't have to shackle us. What binds us doesn't have to bind us. What imprisons us doesn't have to imprison us. What we can't undo, he can. And he's done it in Jesus Christ. Don't scoff, he says. Don't laugh. Don't suffer that possibility of laughing out loud and being heard, only to be proven wrong. Believe. Yes, you were right. In your closed world, it can't happen. But in my world, in the kingdom, it can. Because nothing is too difficult for me. As we rise this week, as we go to work this week, as we face challenges in our marriage or in raising our children or just in struggling with where the world is, let us not be bound but free. Free by this God who says, is anything too difficult for me?